Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on a Friday, and if it's Friday, that means Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Now, next Wednesday, when I am in town, I can assure you in no uncertain terms, there will be a stop at the beverage supermarket on this guy's part. I'd like to pick up some fresh hot roasted peanuts. I absolutely want to go to the pickle bar. There certainly are beverages I want to pick up for a couple of summer events coming up, spring events coming up. And, of course, they have the best in domestics, microbrews, imports, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. It's the weekend. I mean, it's the weekend. Hey, great stuff going on this weekend. There's no IndyCar to wreck it. We got just legitimate sports. So join us. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We are in the Sunbury Motors studio. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf. I believe Sunbury Motor Company is celebrating 99 years. 99 years. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We're going to talk a little bit about the Penguins and the Rangers story tonight. We're also going to talk about the Steelers and their draft, which is coming up next Thursday. When we talk a week from today and discuss Brewers Outlet again, we're going to be talking about the previous night's first-round pick and then what is could happen in rounds 2 and 3. Steeler draft-hater Kevin Herr now joins us.
Let's see. Opportunity scratched. Candy Boy finished third to California Chrome in the Santa Anita. That was a mile and an eighth. This is a little bit long. What's that, Steve?
You're never going to win, okay? Next.
I'm working on it. I mean, I'm really close. I'm really close.
It's a 19-horse cluster bomb.
Yeah, thank goodness one of them scratched. Opportunity is one that threw a monkey wrench in everything for me.
Yeah. It's a hard race because in American horse racing, you're allowed 14 horses max at the gate, except for this race. You're allowed 20. 19 this time will go because Opportunity is out. But because of that, you need to almost just break. Okay? Not get hit. Stay clean.
Gotta be
fall
clean.
On the line. Fall on the line. And then over the next mile, maybe the next, I'd say, 3/4 to 7/8, just run your race.
See, that's why I think if you're seriously betting on this, and I'm not joking now, if you're seriously betting on this, this is why you have to look as much at the jockey as you do everything else, just because of the fact that there's 20 horses in this field, and you got to go with a guy who has a ton of experience and understands what it's like to break with 20 horses.
Yeah, I guess to a point. I mean, like, take, for example, Calvin Burrell. He loves to run on the rail. I think part of it's where he breaks from. Because you have to be able to get to the rail in order to run the rail. Right? So, I mean, he has experience. He's won, was he won, 3 times at the Kentucky Derby? But part of it is, yeah, you're right. The ability to break, get into traffic, and then kind of find your spot. And really, it's once you get to the backstretch, you know, and now traffic is cleared up to the point you really at that point have to run your race. If you're a lead horse, you must be in the lead. If you're a comfort behind horse, you got to be less than 10 lengths away so you can start making your move. And of course, one of the great misnomers, I always love this, is
My goodness, look how fast that horse was down the stretch.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I always love that. Look how fast that horse was down the stretch. No, no, no. They're all tired. Yours is just less tired than the other ones. He didn't accelerate, I can tell you that.
Or the other one I like, too, is, wow, is that horse really lightning fast out of the gate as they reach the half pole and things start to fade into the dust.
Yes. Yes, into the dust they go.
You know, that's why I like a guy, though. That's why I like a guy like Gary Stevens. I mean, here's a guy that's won a bunch of, eight Triple Crowns, including three Derbies. He understands what has to happen. But I just don't think he's on a horse that's going to make a difference this time around. Candy Boy, I really like the horse, but the horse just, I think this is just too long. If you go back to the Santa Anita Derby at a mile and an eighth, finished a pretty distant third behind California Chrome.
Hey, for those who watched, let me give you a Dick Girardi tip that is, I think, could be helpful to people that watch a lot of horse racing. When you're watching, for example, like the Santa Anita Derby or, you know, the Florida Derby, Gulfstream, whatever it happens to be, the Wood, all right? Now, the Kentucky Derby is a mile and a quarter, correct?
Yes.
These prep races are a mile or a mile and an eighth, correct?
Yes.
Watch the next 100 yards after the finish.
Yeah, that's a good point.
How well is the horse running? And Dick's the one that's told me this. This is not something where I'm like, wow, I'm the master of observation. I went to somebody who is the master of observation in this regard, and this is the tip he gave me. He says, Steve, I always watch the next 100 yards after. That shows me what kind of tank they have. They hit the finish line, boom, and all of a sudden, boom, they're just throttled down. Or for the next 100 yards, are they just still still look like they want to run? And that's always the key that I watch for, based on him telling me that in the prep races, but also then tells me about the Belmont too, which is going to be an extra quarter mile beyond the Kentucky Derby, and it's an extra 5/8 beyond, obviously, or 5/16, excuse me, 5/16, my apologies, beyond the Preakness.
You know what I'm trying to find? How many times the Kentucky Derby favorite has won?
Rarely in the last 20 years.
It doesn't seem to me like it happens too often because of the amount of horses in the race. Where you get into the next two legs of the Triple Crown, it's a little bit more likely because the number of horses aren't there.
Right. So it's the number of horses dramatically drops. Usually you're talking the Preakness will have anywhere from 8 to 12. And sometimes you get to the Belmont, and you may have 8 or 9. And one of the deals with the Belmont is who specifically then comes in to run the Belmont that's fresh.
Yeah, that's always, that's tough to judge.
I would think that for horse racing, if you really wanted in this Triple Crown deal to really kick it into another gear, all right, run the Kentucky Derby first Saturday in May. Run the Preakness the first Saturday in June. Run the Belmont on the 4th of July.
With more of a break in between.
I think it would give horses, it would not be as grueling a deal for horses as compared to the way it is now. I mean, because one of the reasons it's very hard to pick out a favorite group of favorites or whatever is because of the relatively few number of races they run now. They don't run a lot of races.
You know, that's why I was a little surprised in looking at California Chrome, which right now is the odds-on favorite. It's already run twice this year in March and April with about a month break between the two.
Right, which is smart. I mean, that's smart. In other words, they just did what I talked about.
Right, but usually you have a 2-month break.
Right. Yeah, but I think a month's probably about right. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and be an expert on horses, but you would think running a grueling race over distance, because they train all the time. And I haven't watched them train all week, so I mean, obviously
I've seen some videos.
I think what the Kentucky Oaks is today, correct?
I'm not sure. I thought it was today, but then I looked on the website and then I was a little confused. Cuz they still list it as Saturday. Now, I'm not sure if that's the countdown for the Derby or not, so.
Okay.
Usually
they run it the day before Kentucky Oaks. Which
yeah,
is
see,
for
I
Phillies.
Think you're right. I think you're right. I'm just trying to find it now.
The favorite is Untappable.
In the Oaks. He sounded like Girardi there in the Oaks.
Yeah.
You were channeling Dick Girardi for a minute there, weren't you?
Yeah, 4-5 favorite.
Nice.
4-0-1, 6 starts. Has won 2, whatever. Everything except when the race is. I think it's today, though.
Didn't they run that at one time as earlier in Saturday?
I don't know.
I don't know. I always thought I remembered seeing that before, but I think you're right. I think it is today. Let me look. And NBC Sports, I think, is carrying the Oaks this afternoon, or tonight, I should say. It is a 5:45 post time
today
for 3-year-old fillies.
Mm-hmm. Weights 121. $1 million race, winner gets $600,000.
Forecast today, a 10% chance of rain, 64 in Louisville.
Nice. Mile and an eighth, by the way.
13 fillies in that race.
Good. There we go.
But if you look back, how many, do you remember or do you know, because you have a memory that is just stunning to me every second of the day, when Affirmed won the Triple Crown in 78, last Triple Crown mm-hmm. winner.
Yep.
How many horses ran the Derby? I don't remember as many horses running the Derby then as do now.
I think they opened it up after that.
See, that's what I was thinking too.
I think it was 14 ran it when Affirmed won. I think it was after that that they opened it up to 20. And that's what I think. I think history wise. I mean, that's.
I was thinking that they didn't have as many horses then as they are now then as they do now, and I think that's part of the reason why I think it's so difficult for a Triple Crown winner to come out, and that's why I think we've been for several years since 78 we've been done by the second leg.
I think part of it has to do with just the quick turnaround. I think what you're trying to say is the best horse didn't win. Is that what you're trying to
say? I'm saying that the best horse didn't win because the best horse didn't get out of the gate right, or you know, came out of a wide gate or what have you. I mean, there's so many different variables with this many horses that I don't think the horse that's the best horse always wins the Derby.
And so you weren't a big Orb fan?
No. Oh, didn't even have that one on the radar.
I'll have another.
Really surprised me.
Animal Kingdom?
No, didn't have that one.
Super Saver? Mind That Bird, Big Brown, Street Sense, Barbaro, Giacomo?
Barbaro, I had.
Giacomo was 50-1.
A friend of mine went
up to Dick and he said, give me a tip. He goes, remember the Giacomo. He looked at it, he says, this is what he tells me. He says, And the guy was named Eddie Washell, and Eddie says, that nags 50-1.
Hey, listen, those 50 to 1s are always good for $2 to show. You never know.
Well, Dick was down at Pimlico last week with a friend. Because we talked, I think, three times on Saturday, because I was down near Pimlico. We were going to have dinner, and it didn't work out. But he says I was of no use.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola, buenos dias, guten Abend. How you? Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket. Get a kegger.
Who needs mint juleps?
It's derby time. The heck with the mint juleps. Come on. Have a man's drink. Imported, domestic. Microbrew. Soft drinks. Pickle bar. Load up on the pickle bar for the derby. That'd be great. Fresh hot roasted peanuts. Now, look, I'm coming into town next Wednesday. Right? Corey better be ready. I'm swooping in.
Swooping.
Okay? I love those beer barrel pickles. Those barrel pickles he has. The barrel pickles.
They're good. You know, the full pickle? Goodness. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes, yes. That's my favorite. And I had a sampler. I received a sampler. I'm telling you. Got to go over. I'll be there.
Stop. You're making my mouth water.
No, I'm just telling you. I hope I'm making everyone's mouth water. I want them to go over there. I mean, if you got a weekend coming up. There's one stop. One. Uno. Okay. Got it. Okay. That's Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Look forward to seeing Tom and the gang out at the golf course on Wednesday. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. You don't stay in business for 99 years unless you have a lot of repeat customers who believe in you. So for those of you who are not in the repeat customer category, why don't you find out what they already know? They're the best to deal with. All right. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Now, there are several topics, Kevin, we should discuss with Tony. We should talk about the Penguins. Yep. They open tonight with the Rangers.
Sure.
We should talk about the Pirates, because I believe that, you know, Greg Brown always says, raise the Jolly Roger. And I can tell you right now, that sucker's at half mast.
Not a whole lot of excitement there at the moment.
And the history of the Steeler draft.
That scares me. Listen, the first round has not been kind to the last couple of years with players getting injured.
You're just a bitter guy. Okay. I mean, I even had to text you earlier today to see if you're in a good mood.
Yeah, you remember what I answered you yet?
But it's difficult when I have to walk on eggshells for hours. Hours dealing with a tyrant. You just don't know what kind of mood you're going to get. Tony, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Always good to be here on a Friday afternoon. How are you, Steve?
It's good to have you here. The theory, and it's a theory I've espoused, has been that the Penguins got the better draw matchup-wise in the Rangers as opposed to the Flyers. Right or wrong?
I agree. You know, I think that's right. I think it's a better matchup, and that's the key word. I mean, again, you know, the Rangers were a better team all season long than the Flyers. They were a better team over a seven-game series than the Flyers, so they've proven to be a better team than Philadelphia, but I do think the matchup is better for the Penguins for a couple of reasons, one of which, frankly, doesn't bode well for the Penguins, and that's because the Flyers have been able to rattle the Penguins and get them off of their game for the better part of the last two seasons. You don't win Stanley Cups when you're trying to duck people who, you know, rattle you. But that's a whole other conversation. The other part about that, I think that the Penguins, there's a couple of things that they can exploit with the Rangers. The Penguins' center depth, now that Marcel Gotch is healthy, from Crosby and Malkin, Brandon Sutter, who frankly I think was the best Penguin in the first round series, mm-hmm. and now Gosch on the fourth line, really gives them a lot of depth there. Now again, Sidney Crosby's going to have to score at some point here, to make that depth matter. And I think the Rangers' abysmal special teams are going to be something that's the Rangers are going to have to correct soon, in a matter of hours, if they're going to want to have a chance in this series. I don't know how the Rangers won a playoff series with their special teams as bad as they were.
Right.
That being said, as electric as the Penguins' power play can be, Steve, they've given up a handful of shorthanded goals as well. So
yeah.
It should be an interesting series. I am not convinced that the Penguins are a Stanley Cup contender yet. But again, you have to win the first round to be able to continue on, and they did meet that first challenge. So we'll find out exactly if the Penguins can improve their game or if this is going to be another in a long run of short playoff runs.
Talking to Josh Yoey of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review the other day, he says Sidney Crosby isn't hurt. Is it just as simple as the fact that Sidney Crosby might be going through a slump, which any athlete goes through?
Yeah, I think Josh wrote a very good piece a couple of days ago about Sidney Crosby and about how he is changing his game since his battles with concussions. Crosby used to be a bulldog. He used to be a guy that put his head down and got dirty, ugly goals night after night after night. And since his career was threatened with those concussions a couple of years ago, he's changed his game a little bit and become more of a perimeter type of a player. He'll still go to the net on occasion and get those dirty goals on occasion, but he's more of a perimeter guy, and that works in the regular season. He's probably going to win the Hart Trophy this year as the MVP. He already won the Art Ross Trophy as a scoring champion, but those pretty goals don't happen in the playoffs, and that may be part of the reason that he has had two consecutive series now without a goal. I think he could be slumping a little bit, but again, those two series are there's a year in between them, Steve, so we saw this last year, and now it's reared its ugly head again. But the one thing I will say about Crosby, there's plenty of good things to say, but one of them is he makes people around him better even when he's not scoring.
Yes.
He raises the level of play around him, and he's able to win faceoffs, and he's able to back check and play defense. And he did all those things in the last series. He just didn't score. I won't be able to say that very long, because if that continues, they'll be out of the playoffs.
Steeler draft is in another week. All right, so we'll be the next time we talk, the first-round pick will be in the books. Still the same thought process. Nothing's really changed. I mean, we had Merrill Reese on earlier in the week. He says, look, the head of the player personnel is going to come out, and he's going to talk about they need the best player available, blah, blah, blah. He says, nobody knows what that means. So we're just like circling a fogged-in airport, right?
Yeah, exactly. Move this thing back into April. My goodness, it's been just nonstop analysis and paralysis by analysis. I think we've reached that. But I think the Steelers' needs are still the same. I think they really need a cornerback, and at 15, they should be able to get a difference maker at cornerback. They need receivers, and we've talked about this. They're going to be able to go, deep into the second day of the draft and get a first round talent at receiver. They're talking about this draft having starters, eventual starters at the receiver position in rounds 4 and 5.
Right.
As far as positions of need goes, the Steelers really, this is the year to need a receiver, because there are a lot of them. So I expect them to take a receiver early, but they don't have to take one as early. I also think defensive line is maybe the biggest need, but I don't know what their thoughts are on the top defensive lineman. I don't know when they look at Lewis Nix III, Steve, I don't know if they see an eventual Casey Hampton or if they see a guy who is worth a third-round draft pick. I really have no idea. And there are not a ton of 3-4 defensive linemen at nose tackle or at end.
The Steelers have a great draft history, which is always cited. You talk about the years that, they drafted Stallworth and Swan and Webster and Green and Harris and Bradshaw and Ham and the whole thing. But those people are all gone. Analyze for me, Tony, what you think the last 5 years of Steeler draft history has been.
I think their first-round draft history hasn't been as good as it needs to be in the first round over the past several years. First and second round, even. We just watched Lamar Woodley walk away after having a disappointing second half to his Steeler career. Very good early, certainly not the caliber of a first-round pick. He's now gone. You know, Lawrence Timmons was a very good first-round pick. Cameron Hayward is a guy who looks like might be a very good first-round pick. He just had a good season, but he really had two straight underachieving-type years. So they've really been hit or miss over the years. You know, and the guys that they were hitting on consistently, you know, in this most recent era, Steve, are guys that are starting to be on the other end of their careers, and that would be guys like Troy Polamalu and Heath Miller and Ben Roethlisberger, who were back-to-back-to-back number one picks. Now, that's a pretty good trifecta right there, but they haven't come anywhere near that in the past 5 years.
Greg Brown has a great saying at the end of the game. He always, it's his signature, where he says, raise the Jolly Roger. Is it at half-mast right now?
Yeah, they're in trouble, Steve. You know, I know it's just May 2nd, and I know that, you know, you can afford to go 10-18 over a 28-game segment during the course of a regular season if you only do it once, you know?
Right.
And, you know, it's getting to the point that they need to stop this slide now, as in, you know, they've got a 9-game home series, you know, coming up. They need to win 6-7 of those games right now to really make themselves relevant again. You know, they can't afford to get swept in doubleheaders. There's a lot of things. I don't know if the Steelers, I'm sorry, if the Pirates necessarily made a mistake when they were putting their team together this year, but they certainly chose a risky way to go, rolling the dice that guys like Gregory Polanco and Jameson Taillon would be able to come up and help the Major League club. Well, Jameson Taillon won't do that this year, and, you know, no matter what Gregory Polanco does, is he really going to move the needle that much to save a season? It's doubtful. They have some guys that are underperforming both in the everyday lineup, which we kind of expected. And when that happens, the pitching has to be dominant. It's not been. It was dominant last year, basically for 6 full months. It has not been anything close to dominant. At times, it's been good. Good is not going to do it if you have to, you know, if you have to hold a team to 3 runs or less every night, and that's what they've had to do.
It's interesting to watch them because, you know, and I know what they're holding out for with Polanco, the whole thing. He is not the savior, right? He's not the savior, but he can be an important part to what's going on. If the Wandy Rodriguez situation, I have found to be fascinating because if performance wise, he really has done very little. I mean, and yet, I hear Pirate fans, oh, we got Wandy Rodriguez. I'm like going, so what?
Yeah, I mean, if Wandy's a middle of the rotation, maybe a 4 or 5 guy, that's fine. He hasn't even pitched to that level over the past year, really. You know, at the point where they had their best team together, he contributed nothing, and that was the second half of last season.
Right.
He got shed in Altoona at his, you know, in his rehab start. And quite frankly, you know, with the money he's making, you think that you have to give him every chance to earn some of that money back. But, Steve, the Astros are still paying a significant portion of that.
Right.
Which, you know, to me means that at some point this team could cut their losses. Now, the depth isn't there. Jameson Taillon's no longer an option at the back of the rotation. But Brandon Compton, talk about a, you know, performance. This guy's performed every single night he's gone out over the past few years.
Yes.
It's a very short window to look at, certainly. It's less than 10 Major League starts, but they've been 10 good Major League starts. Some of them have been very good. He's a guy who I think is really earning a chance to have a full-time, every fifth day gig. And if it's at the expense of Wandy Rodriguez, well, quite frankly, I think that makes your starting rotation better, not worse.
I mean, I have some people come up to me and they're like, you know, Wandy Rodriguez. They act like he's John Lester. Now, I sit there and go, excuse me, John Lester throws shutouts when the money's on the table, okay? Okay, what's he? I mean, I don't even know if there's ever been money on the table when he's pitched.
Right, right, right. Good
you know,
point.
I'm like, I mean, come on. I look at him and I say, I feel like I'm watching the reincarnation of Charlie Morton.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Randy, talk about a guy who's been disappointing, and that's, you know, to me, Morton has been is one of the biggest disappointments of the season for the Pirates. I thought maybe he turned a corner with a solid second half and a good playoff start last year, but that hasn't happened. You know, Wandy, again, if you have a couple of good starters in front of him, at his best, he's been able to go out and keep you in games. You know, pitch 7 innings, leave, and the score is 4-4 or 3-3 or whatever. He's never led a staff. I don't think anyone's ever thought of him as the kind of guy who can be a staff leader. But if you've got A.J. Burnett and Garrett Cole and Francisco Liriano and they're all pitching lights out, then yeah, you like to have a guy like Wandy Rodriguez, but he's pitching his way, to me, out of the major leagues, yes. And he's at the end of his career. I agree with you. I do think it's worth a couple more cracks, but, you know, again, to me, it's going to be a short leash, especially when you've got a guy like Compton who's pitching well every single opportunity he gets.
Yeah, I just don't get the fascination. That's what I don't. That's the part I don't get. You're like, I'm like, okay, I've watched baseball a long time. I'm not seeing what you're telling me here.
These are Pirates fans who are looking for something, anything to hold on to.
I got it. I got it. And the Pirates were awesome last year, and there's still time this year. That one I don't see. All right. Hey, Tony, thanks so much. Have a great weekend, bud.
Same to you. Thanks, guys.
And that's Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Talked about the Steeler draft history, which you are not enamored with, because there's not enough straight line speed at any of the picks.
Well, if you're looking at a corner.
There's a lot more to a corner than straight line speed.
Yeah, say that when he gets beat by 20 yards and it's 6 points on the board. Or seven if they do away with the extra point.
Okay. We're going to take a break. And during the break, I want you to look up a word.
Uh-huh.
Instincts. You'd be amazed how, if you have instincts, you don't get beaten by 20 yards.
Here's a word that I'd rather see in somebody's bio when I'm drafting. Talent.
Well, that's what it's all about. It's always about talent. My goodness, I mean, you want to know what makes a good coach and a great coach? A good coach has good talent. A great coach has great talent. You'd be amazed how the two...
I like that.
Okay. All right. The difference between a good coach and a great coach is that a good coach has good talent. A great coach has great talent. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com. The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Are you okay now? Are you all right?
I mean, listening to you during the break is—it's just, yeah, it's unbelievable.
All right, during the break, I said to Steve, I said, "Hey, guess what? Really good news. ESPN is only going to have two bowl games on New Year's Day that aren't going to be affiliated with college football's playoff." I said, "That's great." And I said, this is the way it should be. You should have all your bowl games done by New Year's Day, and the only game after New Year's Day should be the national championship. Or I'm even okay with moving the two games involved in the championship game a day later, and then making all those just playoff games and championship games after New Year's Day. You start laughing like somebody just put laughing gas in the Sunbury Motors studio. Why is that funny? It's not. It's simple. The focus should be on the national championship, not the insert sponsor name here .com bowl. Am I going to have to dial 911 here?
You have all sorts of bizarre little theories.
That's not bizarre. College football for years ended on New Year's Day. For years, decades even. Why did that change? That changed because ESPN got a whole bunch of games, and they only have so many outlets that they can cover it, so they have to stretch it out now and make it, you know, a big two-week presentation with a whole bunch of promotional announcements and everything. Why can't you just play the championship games after New Year's Day? Why do you have to play one or two more bowl games on January 2nd? Why do you want to take the focus off of the two biggest games in college football, or the three, as it were?
If you're in one of these, insert whatever name here, the focus of the nation. The nation?
I mean, do you want to share the national championship games and share the focus with the Boo Boo Bowl?
If I'm invited, I'm going.
Oh, brother. You just don't get it.
Look, there are 39 of these.
30 too many.
No, there aren't. The ratings tell you that there aren't.
I'm kidding. There are the nine ratings, too many.
The ratings tell you there aren't. I find it amazing that people sit back and they'll say there are too many bowl games.
Yes.
Yet people watch them.
I don't. I stand up for what I believe in. There are too many bowl games. I'm not going to watch the ones I don't want to watch.
Yet you'll watch people go in circles.